Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am thrilled today because I have with us the most amazing lady and one of my favorite people in the world, Linda Dyer. Linda is an inspiration with her endless enthusiasm, positive energy, dedication, and professionalism. Her achievements and popularity speak for themselves. She is an in-demand speaker, coach, mentor, and international best-selling author. She has touched the hearts of many and inspires people to achieve their infinite potential. So her latest book is Age is an Attitude, and she's here today to share all kinds of wisdom around aging gracefully. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. I'm just totally stoked and so excited about this book. So thank you.
Well, I wanted to ask first, for people who have not had the pleasure of meeting you yet, if you could tell us just a little bit about your background and how you came to your passion and purpose in life.
Well, it's all your fault, Vicki. I'm one of seven kids, and so I was brought up on a farm. That I hated, and my dad will tell you that I loved it. And I, you know, didn't have a really good self-esteem. I became a very shy girl, which a lot of people will never believe. I've changed so much, but I was so shy, if I went an award or anything, I wouldn't go and pick it up because I had to get on stage. And so then, but I was very efficient. So I always had something inside of me, even as a little girl, said, you've got to go and make something out of yourself and you're going to be a powerful woman. That just stuck with me. I went through school. The subjects just weren't something that interested me. I was way too creative for that. I missed out on going to uni by 2 marks, and so I decided I was going to university, and so I worked 4 jobs for 4 years and put myself through University of Oregon in America. And while I was over there, I did 2 degrees in 2 to 3 years, so really flaunted it. Because we'd been out working, I was able to do that, and a lot of stuff happened there. I hitchhiked across the Canadian Rockies to finish my degree at minus 35. Nothing stopped me. I've never really been stopped by anything. I dressed up as a man and went to England after I'd finished my degrees because I wanted to find my dad's family, and a man had a spare ticket. So I just went and did that, and that worked. And so I realized that whatever you put your mind to, you can make it happen. Came back to Australia and set up, because there were no people with degrees in Australia then in my field. I was, I guess, a pioneer. I opened up a university activities program and met my husband. And then I opened up a hospital program because that was my fetish, these institutions that, you know, stopped me from going to university by 2 marks. I had this fetish inside of me to open up the institution so the whole community could use them, because everyone should be able to come to a university and use the facilities. You pay for them. And everyone should be able to come to a hospital and use it for wellness, not for disease. And so I set up a program in this hospital that actually won an Outstanding Young Australian Award. We had 1,000 people a week come to the hospital for wellness, and it was amazing. It was a $1 million department in wellness. So I then, after 14 years, decided to run my own business. And then it was in that process of getting into natural health and being a trainer in fitness, always a trainer in fitness and health, I found a company that had the most amazing natural products, and one of their speakers was Bob Proctor. And well, when I learned his material and started studying the personal development side, wow, I just changed. And I became a teacher of his and went into prisons and taught prisoners how to basically get out, but, you know, the right way. And then, yeah, I started, you know, my students, I just became a really popular teacher because I was using Bob Proctor's material in amongst all the other knowledge I had on the subject. And the teachers at TAFE were calling me the guru, which was really interesting. And it was just that I was a sponge for learning, and I was just so happy to be learning all this new material. And in the process, I was learning. I went into retirement villages, I went into prisons, I went into all sorts of places and just assisted people to change the way they think. I changed the way my mother thought because she thought she was going to die at 68, which is the same age I'm at. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm like halfway through my age. And my mum was thinking about passing away, and I'm going, oh, there's no future in that. We need to do something about that. So that's what got me on this journey of age is an attitude. It was something that my mother said, and I thought, how can you think like that? And it was because it was inherited in her genes when her mother died at 68 from a stroke. And so she just thought, that's your lot. That's what happens. And I thought, no. With all this material that I now have, we can think differently. Yeah, and then I somehow met the beautiful you, and you said to me, would you like to be a chapter in one of my books? And I cried like a baby, if you remember. Because one of the things I promised my mum at her funeral was to write those books that she never wrote. And here you were saying, well, you know, would you like to have a chapter in a book? And I'm going, okay. Because it was a dream. And of course, once I started to write, then now I can't stop.
Yeah, I was going to say that book was many, many bestsellers ago for you, Linda.
Yeah, this is number 9. How exciting.
Unbelievable. At least a book a year or two. Incredible how prolific a writer you are and what a wonderful writer you are. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your new book. You know, it's just such a lovely subject, and the whole idea that we can age gracefully because of our attitude, that's so empowering because we have control over that.
Absolutely control. You know, when I think about all the things I did in my life, I was in control of all of that, but I didn't know it. You know, like I think I learned personal development after I'd already achieved a lot of things. So I was learning how I did it, which is pretty like me doing things back to front. But anyway, it was so empowering. And then I got the big picture of what I can do even more so. And this becoming responsible for who I am, and the quote by Stephen Bale that God's gift to you is more talent and ability than you can ever use in your lifetime. So your gift back to this universe is to use as much of that as you can in your lifetime. That just changed my life. It was like, what are you doing, girlfriend? Get on with it. And that's when I just changed my attitude. I helped my parents change their attitude. I took 103-year-olds, 88-year-olds on skiing trips. I took people around Australia. I studied aging. I wrote this material 20 years ago, some of it. And then all of a sudden now, all this new research came through, and I could not wait to include it in the book. Like, you know, you just can change the way you think. And you know what? You can heal your body. And therefore, by healing your body, you can age in the most positive way. You know, like I think the 60s and 70s now are the old 40s and 50s. People are aging well because some people get it, but a lot of people don't. And so they gradually die, you know, and it's the worst thing a government or a country can do because it's the most expensive way to have your people live because you've got all these hospital systems that have to cater for people that are slowly dying. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. So what would you say are maybe a few of the top tips on aging gracefully and using your attitude to do that, that people will find in the book?
I've divided the book into the way we learn. So the first three chapters on why do we age? Why does a simple adjustment in our attitude suspend our aging? Simply because it heals your body. And so how exciting is that? And so in the why do we age chapters, I've looked at all the different things, the cellular level, I've looked at the different attitudes, I've looked at the genetics, the genetic code versus the environment. Like, there's a study in there that I did years ago on my mother's twin sisters. One died 30-something years ago, one's still alive today in her close to 90. Why? And it has to be attitude. It was a combination because they had exactly the same genetics. So why is one dead and one alive? And it was their environment. And the environment, according to Dr. Maria Martinez, is cultural. So we hand down those cultural beliefs. Like, my mum was handed down that cultural belief that she would die at 68. And so someone like me comes along and says, no, that doesn't need to be the case. And that's what I want to get people to understand in this book, that what you thought was the way you should live and the way you should die is not necessarily so. And there's 400 to 800 centenarians or people that are over 100 out there that can show you that it doesn't have to be that way. That it's not all about nutrition, that it's not all about what you inherit. It's not all about your environment. But if you put all those things together and you have a great attitude, and the attitude of loving who you are, what you were put on this planet for, and then loving the people that you come and connect with. It's got a lot to do with socioeconomics, how you socialize with other people, so the way you nutrify you, and you're not going to put nutrition inside of you if you don't feel good about who you are. We're going to dress like and act like the people who we think we are. So in order to look in the mirror and say, why did the universe put me on this planet? What was I meant to do? I certainly wasn't meant to shove hamburgers and chips down my throat. That's not what I'm here for. So my real purpose, if my real purpose is to teach, for example, then I can do that in many ways. I can stand up in front of an audience and do it. I can do it through coaching. I can do it simply by being the person that I'm meant to be, because my energy then flows out and other people can aspire or can take on board that energy and feel good about who they are when they're around me. You know, it sounds egotistical, but it's absolutely necessary for us to love ourselves and what we're doing in order to put that energy out and not have an immune system like I used to have. Like, I get this. I was dying. And my attitude about living wasn't really good because I wasn't in a good place. And then one day I just changed my mind. I had a different thought about moving forward. And I said, today is the day I change. And that four-step process of I decide to move forward and let go of my past. I believe that I can get well and age beautifully. I am going to act on that every single day, and I believe that belief and action rotate. So once you start to believe, you'll start to act on it, and you really must act on it. Like, I eat very differently. I have a different attitude about people and things and myself. I love what I'm doing. I wake up with a zest of energy to get on with whatever it is, whether it's a book or I'm preparing a speech now on the law of attraction for a law firm. Won't that be interesting? changing attitudes, and people are picking this up because it's absolutely necessary.
Wow. That is just, again, so incredibly powerful. You know, I think about something you said just a few moments ago, and you were talking about the many ways that you affect people. And so many times we don't even realize we're affecting people just by our existing and being and living and breathing. You know, we can have huge impact by just being. And one of the things that I wanted to mention for those who don't know you, we had the wonderful joy of taking your wonderful little Pugsy book to bestseller. And it was just a wonderful little book called Good Grief, from the perspective of a dog who had passed on. And a beautiful message about how to live on after you have had what you might perceive as loss. And you took that little book and that little book, through Against All Odds, ended up being an unbelievable inspiration for children all over China after that enormous earthquake. And it's just incredible. And then it was like a decade later or something that we ended up taking that little book that had so much impact, quiet impact on all those children, to bestseller. And that was your first bestseller. You know, that's just how things can happen. It's just absolutely amazing. So I just want to congratulate you on all the contributions of all of your books. And this one is particularly exciting to me. We've talked about it for several years, about it coming out. And I'm just thrilled that you've written it and you're going to put it out there in the world. So, Linda, tell me a little bit about what you hope people will gain from reading Aging is an Attitude.
Where we used to think that the nature-nurture controversy, which I think some people understand being what you inherited versus your environment, I think we all thought it was like 50-50, you know, what you inherited, or people were stuck in blaming their parents or blaming their grandparents. Oh, I've got this immune system because my mother has, or I've got this because my dad had it in his family. Well, you know what? Guess what, guys? It's only 20%. So stop blaming your parents. We've got to get over that, because it doesn't cut it anymore. I mean, I've been saying that for 10 years, but now science has backed me up. There's actual science now that tells you that your genetics is only 20% of you. And guess what? Even that's cultural. And then you've got 80%, though, of what you do, what you choose to hang around, who you choose to hang around, and what you choose to eat, the way you choose to live. That's your environment. That's all choices that you make. So by you choosing the environment every single day, the people you want to be with, the things that you want to do, and I know it's a tough gig to turn around and say, you know what, I'm choosing to live differently. I had to do that. But I would have been dead today if I hadn't. You could be living an awful life if you don't. But think of the life you can live if you just make that one choice to say, what is it that is keeping me where I am? And the more we blame our environment, our inheritance, the more that we're disempowered to it, because blame is loss of power. We give power to all those people that are affecting us in some negative way. Well, next, I choose not to do that. I choose to create the environment I want to live in. I choose to understand that there's a bit of inheritance there. You know, I've got cancer riddled all through my family, but I choose not to have it. And so I don't. There's, you know, when with my mum wanting to pass away with all this heart disease and what have you, I choose to take supplements. I choose to walk every 3 hours through the day. I choose good food. I choose to laugh a lot. I choose to love what I do. And all those things give me great health. I'm the sort of person that runs into the doctor and he says, oh, I haven't seen you for about 10 years. I said, don't get too excited, doc. I just want needles for Africa. Because I don't need his services. I just do everything that I'm trusted to do through the universe to make me feel wonderful, and then I can get on with what I do every day with the most amazing attitude. And I'm so grateful, an attitude of gratitude, and that brings even more stuff to me. So, you know, that's all I can say is, guys, you know, when you change your attitude and say next to the stuff that you know is keeping you where you are, that you can age not only beautifully, but it can last a hell of a lot longer than what you thought.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Such a promising way to look at the future and to look at aging. I was curious, Linda, could you share a little bit, because you said earlier that you haven't always been this positive in your attitude, and it comes so natural for you now. I mean, just being around you is so uplifting and so empowering, and I was wondering if you could get people who are maybe still struggling and in a place where attitude is a good attitude, is not necessarily something they wake up with in the morning, how do they get started on the path toward a good attitude?
It's about just changing two things a month. When you change a habit, it takes about a month. Well, people say 21 days, but, you know, who's counting? So if you give yourself a month, because if you make a mistake, you have to start again. So, for example, I started responding versus reacting to things. I changed my attitude about reacting because that helps nobody. It doesn't help me. It creates stress. And stress, we know more about stress today than any other time in our life, and yet we're more stressed. It's crazy. There's more anxiety in the world today than there ever has been. So if we can all learn to just respond, that means how can I think about that positively? Or how can I respond to that positively? And it means you've got to stop and think and change your attitude about how you normally respond to people. Because normally if you respond in a negative way or react in a negative way, that's just your ego protecting you. So I actually tell my ego to go jump, you know, like I get my ego and I say, you're going to go in my pocket because I need to think about this. How can I respond to this? Look, to do that for a whole month, then you get into the habit of responding, of seeing things in a positive way. So that's just one thing. And it might be that you change one thing in your diet. And don't call it a diet even, call it an eating plan. Just change one thing. Do you need to add more water? So you've got more energy. Do you need to add liquid minerals? I do every single morning. What do you need to do? There's just one simple thing. This isn't rocket science. This is one simple thing that you can do. Could you stop blaming everything and everyone around you for where you are? Because the more you blame them, the more you're going to stay where you are because you've handed them your power. So if you're blaming your partner, blaming your kids, blaming the weather, blaming your inheritance about where you are, all of those people have your power, which leaves you with none. So you want to get your power back, then put your big girls or big boys undies on today and start taking responsibility for you and stand in your power. Pretend that you're Superman or Superwoman and say, I'm in charge of me today. Nobody rocks this boat except me. I choose to be happy. I choose to be whatever it is that I want to be. Right now, right here, today, I make this choice because I am responsible for me.
You know, Linda, I think that that's so important, and maybe that's why I'm just loving this book so much, because it carries this thought all the way through, the idea of the responsibility and empowerment. But I honestly think for me, that's what I look at as a transformation. When people talk about a life transforming, I think that the responsibility factor is, to me, the transformation, that once you start fully accepting responsibility for everything in your life, you're transformed and you can never go backward again. You know, it's like,
no, that's right. Once you feel that transformation, like when I made that decision, I'll never forget that. When I walked out of that hospital and said, I'm going to change, and they were yelling at me, you know, I was really sick. So I walked out of that hospital and said, I know how to do this now. I'm going to change. And I used those four things, deciding to change, believing I could, acting on it every day, and expecting to change. So I started to do one thing at a time. I started to respond, and I gradually transformed, because when you do one thing at a time, you'll see that eventually everything starts to work. And you think, all right, if I've done it for that, then I can do it for something else. And I can do it for something else. And you start transforming every little part of your life. And if you bring up the negative again and you say, next, and cut it off very quickly. Don't let it enter your mind. Don't let it become, because that's old stuff. Dismiss it immediately, and then the neural networks in your brain will only give you the positive neural networks, all the positive stuff that you can follow. And it's just so calming. It's like you're in charge of you, so that makes it really calming. And when people talk to you, you decide what you want to take on board. And just say, you know what? When that person really yelled at me, and normally I would have felt really frustrated by that, or I would have felt less than, today I didn't, because I get it. It's not me that they're yelling at. They're yelling at themselves. And I choose today not to take that on board. This isn't my stuff. It's powerful. It's really powerful.
It really is. And what I love when you bring that up, the idea of just doing maybe a couple of things, you know, each month, everyone can do that. That's so doable.
Yes.
It's not a huge, big mountain that you have to climb. It can be something small. And as you say, you keep building on that, building on that, and pretty soon you've transformed your whole life. It's so beautiful because it's so simple, and it's something everyone can easily do.
They certainly can. I mean, I was dying. I wanted to do something, whereas other people choose to just let their disease kill them. It's just everything can be reversible. I love one of the quotes I've put in the last chapter of the book, because I got a whole bunch of quotes from different centenarians, people over 100. And one guy said, well, I decided at 90 that I should stop being lazy.
Oh,
so we can
choose
to change at any age. It works. It really works. He's over 100 now, you know, and enjoying his life. When people say, oh, I'm too old to do that, no, you're not.
Is there another jewel from a centenarian that you can think of when you were interviewing these people and collecting this information that really, really moved you?
Yeah, one guy kept saying how wonderful he was. And he said, you know, he said, it might sound egotistical, but he said, if I don't really start enjoying who I am, then other people aren't going to enjoy who I am.
Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful life lesson for us all. So, Linda, I could spend all day talking with you, weeks talking with you, and we're so close to running out of time, but I wanted to see if you had any last thoughts about the idea of age as an attitude and any final thoughts for our audience.
Well, I think what really brings home in this book is I'm giving you an opportunity to understand it. And so when you read the book, you understand aging, you'll understand it from what you inherited, you'll understand it from how you choose your environment. Then all of a sudden you may be able to say, well, wow, all I have to do is a couple of things. I can change my eating plan. I can change the way I think. I can let people go out of my life that I believe are keeping me where I am, because that's not true. And I can choose, and it's simple. It's a simple life. So the mental adjustment that you make is just the most powerful thing you can do to transform who you are. It's your choice. Your choice is to age. And I think the other thing too is most people think that getting older and becoming a centenarian, that they're frail or they're in a wheelchair. That's not true. Today there are so many people around the world who are over 100. These centenarians who are being studied now, Dr. Kapira, who you've had on your radio show, Vicky, she's studying the genetics and why people are changing to be over 100. And Dr. Mario Martinez is studying 400 people over 100. And I've been given permission to put their research into my book, which is just fabulous. So this is coming from centenarians. This is coming from people who are already over 100. So if you can change your attitude, listen to what they have to say, have a look at why your immune system breaks down the minute you get stressed, and therefore your health breaks down, so your aging process is getting closer, you know, to you rather than further away. You can age beautifully by staying well. And to stay well is when you're in control.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Linda, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my absolute pleasure. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Vicky.
I know that Age is an Attitude can be found on Amazon, but can you let everyone know where they can connect with you on the web? Is there a website that they can go to?
Yeah, sure. All my other books are on there as well. So it's on MindPowerGlobal, one word, .com.au. That's mindpowerglobal.com.au. And if they put in their name and email address on the front, they can get a whole bunch of free product from me that I'm happy to give them to help them get this process going.
Oh, beautiful. Linda, thank you so much for your generosity of your time, your wisdom, and for all those wonderful gifts. I hope everyone will visit your website and get to know you as I have. And I just love knowing you. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicky.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, where we have taken over 1,000 authors to bestseller. You can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.